So, this morning, I would like to talk to you about a series that the pastor started, last week that we will continue over the next couple of months, about stewardship. And I want to recall to you that stewardship is the management of property of another, placed under our care.
Amen.
And whose property is more precious than God's? He owns everything. And he has given us, as Pastor said earlier today, he has given us keys to the kingdom. And he's asking you to take care of it, to nurture it. But we also had to talk about idols last week. And one of the things we talk about that defines idols is anything we try to put in God's place in your life. So, I'm going to get to one of those things this morning that people put in place of God. Yes, money.
All right.
Yes, for the love of money. Now, I know that the pastor last week gave a rendition of For the Love of Money. And in all seriousness, I won't try to top that because he did a marvelous job. And I don't want to come second fiddle to that. So he put a stamp on it. But we all know what we're talking about because for the love of money. People forsake each other. People forsake their own children. People forsake God.
Mercy.
Who has given you the money that you've had to begin with. It's a slap in the face when you start putting money before God. When you leave, the money's not going to leave with you.
Amen.
When you came, you didn't have money with you.
Amen.
God has given you everything you had between the dashes.
Amen.
And if you don't understand the dashes, it's from when you was born and when you decided to go be with our Father.
Amen.
God has given you everything.
Amen.
And you put money above him. And if you look at this world, if you look at your family, money is the root of evil. Money is the root of evil. It breaks up marriages, it breaks up homes, it breaks up churches. Let's be real.
Come on.
It breaks up churches because of money. Your commitment to your church home gets put aside for your commitment to money. Come on, be real. Be real. And to give you an illustration of this, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to read verse number 10. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And it reads, "For the love of money is a root of all kind of evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." See, we start to idolize money. We cheat.
Mercy.
Steal. Do all we can to get it. Now, don't take me wrong. Money can be used for good. You can feed the hungry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can clothe the naked. You can provide shelter. You can provide a place of refuge,
mm-hmm.
a sanctuary. But when we lose sight of the purpose, we start to love money more than God.
Mm.
That is when we have problems in our life. Today, we'll be looking at one of my favorite scriptures about this poor old widow. And I'll be coming from Luke chapter 21. Verses 1 through 4.
Amen.
And in Luke it reads, "And he looked up, and he saw the rich putting in their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had."
Mm.
Now this widow, I would say that this widow is no different than each one of us in this room. She probably had a few things going on. We know that because the scripture says that she put in all that she had.
Amen.
See, I know some of you look at it and say, well, she only put in two mites.
Mm-hmm.
But see, those two mites was all that she had. See, those two mites, they talk about the two mites that you couldn't even see the stamp on. You know how you pull out a penny and you can see the stamp on the back of the penny? The two mites was smaller than that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was all that she had. But see, I don't want you to just see the monetary thing that was going on here.
Amen.
See, there's more going on with this poor old widow.
Mm-hmm.
See, I want to share with you some things that you might miss if you don't see what Jesus was trying to point out to all of us and to his disciples. So if you don't mind, I just want to go a little bit deeper.
Amen.
About what was going on with this widow and what Jesus was trying to relay to each and every one of us.
Amen.
Is that okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Now, over in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, he explains this same situation,
uh-huh.
But I want to read that because he highlights some things I think is very important. It's over in Mark chapter 12, and starting at verse 41. And it reads that, and I want you to gather a picture as we're reading this scripture. Gather a picture of what was going on here. And it reads that, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury,
mm-hmm.
and saw how people put into the treasury.
Mm-hmm.
And many who were rich put in much.
Mm-hmm.
Then one poor widow,
mm-hmm.
came, threw in two mites, which makes a quarter. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So first catch that Jesus was watching the treasurer.
See, you
might miss this, that Jesus was watching the treasury. He sat opposite of the treasury to see how you and I give back what he has given us. He sat and watched. And see, the treasury, they had multiple spots in the temple to give, and the offering plate, so to say, was shaped like a trumpet. And people would put their tithes and offering in these vessels. See, the rich would put their money, and people would, you know how you do. You see someone rich and they driving a Ferrari.
Come on now.
You see someone give a large piece of money and you're like, ooh, how do you do that? And I can imagine that some of the people will be like, let me get a whole bunch of coins here, Pastor. Let me get a whole bunch of coins. So when I throw it,
he's
going to be, you know what I'm saying? I want people to hear that. It's like, oh, man. Elder John, man, boy, give him a lot. Look at mine's only go, ding. Elder John, wow. So I would imagine that some did it that way. So it'd be like, hey, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. You know, yes, I'm rich and I have the Ferrari parked out front and I give this money, but look at me. Look what I am doing. Right?
Yes.
And it's funny, man, Pastor was talking a week or so ago and he told me about when he was attending this other church, that one day they was having church service and someone put a large check in the offering. Glory be to God, right?
Amen.
Right? Okay, hold that thought. So he was telling me that it put this, and they was wondering who put it in, but, you know, glory be to God. But this person, after the message, said, hey, Pastor, can I say a few words? Can I say a few words? Yeah, go ahead. Well, Pastor, I just want to mention, that was me who put that check in the offer. Yes. Who was the glory for? Was the glory for God? Or was it for man?
Mercy.
See, I'm
come on.
Who was it about? See, it wasn't about God and giving the glory to him. It was about, look at me. And I'm not saying that if you have abundance that you shouldn't give offering. You should.
Amen. That's right.
If you want to give more than the tenth back, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. What I'm saying is you shouldn't be up here talking about, ooh, look at me. Look what I have done, because you're missing the picture.
Right.
Because God gave you 100%, and I don't care if you give 10, 20, or 30%, it's not 100. He is giving you all, and it should be for the glory of God, not for the glory of yourself.
Amen.
See, the Bible calls us to give a tenth.
Amen.
And if you don't, a tenth is a tithe. That's your portion. That's your instruction given by God. A tenth. And I know sometimes you think that sounds like a lot. But if I give you $100 and I ask you to give 10 back, you got $90. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
God is not asking for much.
Amen.
But yet, some of us fail. See, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it calls us, in whatever we do, do it to the glory of God. So as this widow was given, Jesus was watching. See, it was such a moment. It was such a monumental occasion. It was such an opportunity to see what this woman was doing, mm-hmm. that Jesus said, hey, wait a minute, your disciples, come here. Check this out. I want you to see this. Mm-hmm. I want you to look what is about to happen. Mm-hmm. This is you know how when you see something and you can't believe it yourself, right. you call other people over to see it. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to the disciples, come here. Look. Now think about this. Jesus is sitting right here every Sunday. He's calling the disciples over and saying, mm-hmm. look, as they come down the aisle. Mm-hmm. Look. Mm-hmm. And they're not looking at what you got on.
Darn it.
They're not looking at your shoes. What Jesus was looking at when he was sitting there across from the treasure, he was looking at her heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the two mites was important. Yes, that was all that she was had. He was looking at her heart.
I don't think
y'all understand.
Amen.
Her heart.
Yeah.
She was doing it out of love, mm-hmm. not out of duty.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Bible calls you to give a tenth, but she was doing this out of love.
Mm-hmm.
See, this was more than her tenth. This was all her livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
This was all that she had in the bank, all that she had in her house. But she was doing this out of love. Not out of duty. See, Jesus was able to see what her heart condition was. He could see that she was given to the glory of God and not for anything else.
Amen.
See, she wasn't, I can imagine she wasn't coming down talking about, oh, this is it. This is all I got. I got a light bill to pay, and mm-hmm. I don't have no food in the house.
Right.
I got to pay my child's tuition.
Mm.
I need gas in the car. She wasn't coming down up to the treasury shaking, worried or concerned. She was coming for love.
That's good.
So today's message is titled, what is your heart condition?
Mm-hmm. Oh, amen.
See, I'm not talking about your physical condition, but what's inside your heart and how do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really love when you say you love?
Mm-hmm.
See, one definition of heart is the innermost part of something. It's deep.
Amen.
It's with passion.
Yeah.
See, in 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look at the appearance or at the physical stature, because I have refused him. Mm-hmm. For the Lord does not see as man sees.
Right.
For man looks at the outward appearance.
Yes.
But the Lord looks at the heart.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know. Is it concern in the room? Hmm. See, you can fool every one of us in here.
Yes.
Coming down with a smile on your face.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you can't fool Jesus.
No.
Sitting up here watching.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Amen. That's good.
See, you have to know that God is watching you.
Mm-hmm.
He's watching your heart.
Yes,
so when God says he loves a cheerful giver,
yeah,
he's not talking about those who just dance down the aisle and put on one of those fake smiles. You know how you do.
Mm-hmm.
See, he don't want you to come down the aisle with a smile on your face, and in your heart, you'd be like, oh Lord, this is my last two pence.
Mercy.
Oh Lord, it's time to give again. See, if it's in your heart and you realize that had it not been for God, you wouldn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when Elder RJ said, when it's time for tithes and offering, you should be celebrating, because you know he has given you so much that it's time to show him that you love him as much as he loves you,
right,
and that you're willing to give a portion back to him.
That's right. That's
with joy in your heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not sorrow.
Amen.
Not concerned about the water bill.
Amen.
See, this widow was full of love for God that she was willing to give her all.
Mm.
And see, you might wonder why would she give all that she had. Some of you would say that God doesn't need my money. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you say every Sunday, God don't need my money. But see, if you understand that God owns everything.
Mm-hmm.
All that you have and all that you are.
Amen.
All that you have,
yes,
and all that you are.
Yes.
You're simply giving back to God what he has already given to you.
Mm-hmm.
See, he provides 100% of your financial being.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to recall you back. I want you to remember stewardship. You are simply managing the stuff or property that God has given you. And God instructs you to give a tenth back to his storehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this widow wasn't given out of duty, out of instruction,
right,
but out of her love for God.
Mm-hmm.
See, this love, this relationship she had with God, it was personal. When we talk about your personal relationship with God and how it needs to be deeper,
amen,
her passion, her love for God was deep.
Mm.
And you might say, Elder John, why would you say it's deep? Because her love for God was her first priority.
Amen. That's good.
Not what she had to wear,
mm,
or what she had to eat.
Amen.
Her love for God was her first priority. It was what she woke up in the morning thinking about. It's what she went about her day thinking about. It's what she went to bed thinking about.
Amen.
When we ask you to stand up and praise God,
mm, mm.
Come on.
See, it was coming from the inside out. See, See, this is passionate. This is, see, you know, in high school you had some of the things they called puppy love. It wasn't that. You know, I love her. It's that kind of love that I have you change your work schedule and come back once or twice. So somebody know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
See, it's that kind of passion that it's like, I can't breathe without acknowledging my Lord and Savior.
That's good.
See, you remember back when gas was over $3 a gallon? People had to start prioritizing not only what they spent, but where they spent their money.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's three something a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And in those decisions, when you pulled up to the pump and you were about to spend $60 on gas,
yeah,
you looked at it and said, maybe I don't need X, Y, Z. I'm not going to tell you what that is. You tell me what that is.
Well.
But you had to prioritize what you was going to spend. So, this widow realized that by making God her first priority, she had two mites, which was her whole livelihood. She said to herself that, if I give this to God, He can do more with these two mites than I can ever do with it. It was her love. It was a love thing. It was her relationship with God that she treasured most. Now I'm not going to ask you to share, but what is your first priority? And see, most people can tell you what that might be by looking at your checkbook or your banking account. What you spend the most time with. I want you to check your heart and think, what is it that I wake up thinking about? What has the attention of my heart? What do you give first priority in your life? If God called you every Sunday and said, I need you to meet with the deacon of the house and bring your checkbook or your bank statement. What would it look like? Would your first priority just jump off the page at us? Would your first priority be God? If He has given you everything and asked for 10% back, what is so difficult about that? And you say, well, Elder, you don't understand. When I got paid, my life was about to be shut out. Or I had to put some food in the house. But I say, look at the widow. The widow is a good example that she wasn't worried about it. See, in Matthew 6 and 31, it reads that, therefore do not worry saying, what shall we eat?
Right.
Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But first,
right.
Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
That's right.
See, the scripture doesn't say in conjunction with, or alongside, or second. It says, seek first.
Right.
So when it comes to God and his instruction to tithe, some of us pay tithes with what is left over. See, we pay our bills, we go out to eat, we buy clothes with somebody else's name on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I gotta have my Nike, right? Me and Pastor was talking about yesterday, I had on a Converse shirt. And sorry, Arsenio, the kid, RJ, y'all won't understand it. When we grew up, Converse was it. Mm-hmm. And Pastor said, no. I had Converse, but I wore Pro Kids. I know y'all don't have an idea what that is. But Mom, we know what Pro Kids are. We know what they were. See, they were so hot, Pastor, he wore with his suit. See? But see, we made those things our priority. People are paying $200 and $300 for a pair of shoes, and then come Sunday, they put $10 in the offering plate. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
Come on. Had it not been for God,
yeah,
and the gifts that he had given you, you couldn't afford the $200 pair of shoes, but you're willing to buy those because now what you got left, you're trying to give back to God.
That's right.
You look at, after you do all these things that you want to do, you know, come on now, I gotta have cable. It's about to be NFL season.
Uh-huh.
The Chiefs are about to go to the Super Bowl, so I need cable on in my house because I can't miss the game. I have to pay for this car because, you know, I got to get around town. The house is paid for. Which, you know, it's good to pay your bills, and I want you to pay your bills, but you have it backwards. See, it says, first seek the kingdom.
That's right.
First seek the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So, if you go about life, and you find yourself in situations, if you go about life, if you pay your tithes first, and go from the other direction, there'll be a change. See, I know that because we teach a class in here called Your Money Counts.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. But you have to be able to manage what God has given you.
That's right.
You might need to cut out something or some things or people out of your life.
Amen.
See, your perspective is all messed up. It's God's money, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
He has provided 100% to you, to man.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing with what he has given you, you say, I need more money, Pastor.
Mm.
If I just had more money,
right.
I'll give my tithes if I had more money.
Wow.
But if you had more, let's be honest, if you had more money right now, you would just mismanage more.
Yeah.
Mercy.
Because if you're not managing $100, why would God want to give you $1,000?
Come on.
If you can't tithe at $100, why would God give you $1,000?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't manage this small pocket of money I'm giving you, why would I give you a whole bucket full of money?
Right.
To throw at more shoes? To forsake he who had given it to you to begin with?
Mercy.
To forsake your brother and sister who are hungry? To forsake the building I call you to come worship?
Mercy.
Me who have given you all?
Mercy.
Why would I give you more so that you can mismanage more, misplace more, put your trust in something else more?
Right.
They're not getting it.
Mm.
Mercy.
See, you have to serve God first.
That's right.
See, the Bible said you can't serve two masters.
Right.
In Matthew 6 and 24, it said that you will hate the one and love the other, or be loyal to one
right.
and despise the other. See, I have an example of this of when I was young. See, I had a friend that I grew up with, and we used to play basketball and football. We went to school together. We used to play basketball and football on the streets when my mom and dad was at. That's another story.
Okay.
When my mom and dad was at work in the summertime, you come on, you know, and then my sister would tell on me when my mom and dad came home. But we used to play. It was a good friend, we were in school together. So, I knew his parents. We used to go up to his house, stayed on the corner, knew his parents. Parents didn't know him. So one day he came over to my house and he was just crying out of control. Found out that his parents had been killed.
Mercy.
Tragic. This was hard for me to conceive and to absorb. I'm like, this is tragedy. This is hard for me to take. Mm-hmm. I said, this is awful. But later we found out that his parents was having an argument over money.
Mercy.
And his father found out that his mother had gotten some money, but didn't tell him. The argument got so bad in the house that the father must have pulled a gun, and then the mother ran out of the house. Father ran out of the house after her with the gun in his hand, and he shot her. Realizing in that instant what he had done, he went back in the house and he shot himself.
Mercy.
See, that story in itself has an effect on me and my life, because that tragic for a piece of paper, for something that really doesn't sustain your life, something that doesn't really bring you true joy
right.
and true happiness, they took each other's life. He took both of their lives.
Mercy.
He ended a relationship over a piece of paper. See, when you got married, three strands, right, and God is in there, right?
Yes.
And if God is in there, it didn't say money. Money is not one of the strands.
Mm-mm.
God is in there, right?
Yeah.
And and I don't get this, and for those of you who are married, why are we hiding stuff from each other? Mm. It's supposed to be one, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. God. It's supposed to be one. We're wrapped in this cord with God. It's supposed to be one. Mm-hmm. Why should I hide something from the other two parts? Mm. Why? What am I truly achieving? Mm. Except for cheating, deceiving, mm-hmm. and not truly loving. Mm. Mm-hmm. See, I would wonder if that had they had their focus on God, they would have talked about this. Mm-hmm. If that would have been who they were seeking first, mm-hmm. instead of putting, idolizing money. Mm-hmm. And we all have issues with our financial situation sometimes. No, let me take that back. We all have challenges. Because mm-hmm. I never see it as an issue anymore. Mm-hmm. I see it as maybe a challenge. But if you first seek God, get your focus right. Yes. Get it in the right place. Amen. All these other things will be added. Mm-hmm. He's not going to leave you naked. Not going to leave you hungry.
Amen.
See, lots of times we go about how we manage our money by not trusting what God tells us. Hmm. See, Elder R.J. read from Malachi. And it says, bring all, not a portion, mm-hmm. not a piece, not what you got left over. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try, get this, and try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out you such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. See, so we've talked about looking at the widow's heart, prayer heart, love. We talked about first priority. God was her first priority. But see, what brings it all together is that she was trusting in the Lord.
Yeah.
By giving all that she had, knowing that God would come through, that he will provide what she needs. Mm-hmm. See, this widow's heart condition was great. Mm-hmm. I know to an outsider this doesn't make no sense. But to God, it makes perfect sense. Once you get your heart in the right place, your relationship will grow.
Amen. That's right.
You trust in the Lord, you will grow. Amen. You have to make a decision.
Thank you, Jesus.
You have to decide. I can't decide for you. Mm-hmm. You have to decide. Decide that you will trust the Lord at his word. See, the word says that the Lord will not leave you or forsake you.
That's right.
Why don't you believe? Mm-hmm. See, Pastor told me that, you know, this caught me off guard. Pastor told me that people believe in God. Mm-hmm. Shocking. Mm-hmm. Does everybody believe in God? Mm-hmm. Does everybody believe in God? Mm-hmm. Okay. And he says there's a lot of that. There's a lot of Christians that believe in God. There's a lot of non-Christians that believe in some God. Mm-hmm. But we talking about the God Almighty. There's only one. But some people believe. Come to church here. I believe in God. I interview offenders all the time, and they say, I believe in God. But Pastor put a spin on it yesterday and said, but they don't believe God. They believe in God, mm-hmm. but they don't believe God. Wow. Because if you truly believe God, yes. when we read Malachi 3 and 10, yes. that's kind of personal because he's saying, yes. try me yes. in this. Yes. Test me in this. If you yes. give me a tent, watch how I open up the windows of heaven for you. Watch how I bless you. Watch how I provide for you. Put me first. Mm-hmm. Put me first.
Amen.
The widow had, she had this down. She had this so engulfed in her heart that she trusted the Lord with all her livelihood. Mm-hmm. Not just a portion, not just Sunday. She trusted the Lord from Sunday to Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
See, some of y'all just come Sunday and say, oh, I believe in the Lord. But do you truly? Don't just believe in him. Believe him. Mm-hmm. Believe his words. Believe in his instructions.
That's right.
God is asking, he is testing you. And he wants to see what you're going to do. I told Pastor the other day I had a great opportunity. Several of our children was sitting at the table and I was talking about some things we wanted to do. And me and my wife echoed that the first thing I said, listen, I want y'all to get this. The first thing, you need to tithe. 10% tithe, 10% to save. If you the other 80%, you need to live on. If you can't live on that other 80%, you need to cut some things out. Mm-hmm. And I said, and see how things will change. Mm-hmm. And I meant that. Mm-hmm. It was a great opportunity to have them that, I don't care how little you have or how much you have, start tithing. Mm-hmm. Trust God. See, see, I know this firsthand. See, if you want to know why this particular illustration is so personal to me, is because I lived it. This is me. This is who I am. See, me and my wife, we had a house, two cars, but we didn't have God as a priority. We didn't fully trust. You know, I was excited. I was getting promoted. I was doing all these things. And it seemed like the more money we made, the more we chased it.
Mercy.
See, we thought we were pretty well off as far as money. Mm-hmm. You know, we just bought a house, two cars. My chest was stuck out so far. Man. And we, well, at least I thought we had it going on. But we didn't fully trust God. See, at this point in our life, it got so bad that we was chasing checks with checks. Now, I can't talk about your situation, but I can talk about mine. Mm-hmm. We was chasing checks mm-hmm. with checks. Mm-hmm. We was borrowing money mm-hmm. we couldn't pay back. Mm-hmm. We lost that house.
Mercy.
And the car.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the idol?
Hmm.
What we were praising so much, we lost. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Then, one day,
yeah.
Praise be to God, someone invited us over to the house. Said, bring your wife, come on over. We'll have dinner. And, okay. Okay. Yeah. We ain't got no money, so yeah, free dinner. Free dinner, let's go. So we went over and we had a conversation with some people. And we were like, what? Something, it's something about them. It's something about them. It touched the innermost part of our heart. You know. We sat in the car, we looked at each other like, what just happened?
Mm.
What just happened?
Mm.
And and later on, that same couple came back and we met a few times, and then they said, God has put it on our heart to start a church, and we want the two of you to help us with this. Y'all have a lovely spirit. If I would have came over and showed him my checkbook, he was like, oh, I don't know.
We was trusting God.
but if you ain't figured out, it was passing first place. And we had a lovely time. And so that something was happening in our heart. Something was happening on the inside of us. And we said that we need to check our heart condition. We need to check our heart condition. I know I lack trust in God. I need to check my heart condition. I need to check my heart condition. But I also realized that in all that we lost, we started to gain focus.
Yes.
See, God led us
yes.
to this.
Yes.
God led us to this.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And we thank God for it.
Mm.
And so the pastor said, well, we're going to start a church. And it's like, it's only a few of us. Well, we talked about commitment, and we sat down here Saturday after Saturday. We sat eating breakfast Saturday after Saturday, talking about the makeup of the church, and talked about time. Ooh, ouch! It's only a few of us. Ouch! So me and my wife talked in the midst of our situation, in the mound of debt that we had.
Yes.
We said that if we're going to be involved in God's house, we need to tithe.
Right.
I looked at her. I looked at her and I said, what? I'm great with numbers. I said, what? It's debt. We're chasing checks. What? We're in debt. We can't see our way out, and you want to pay tithes. So we did it. And again, I know that doesn't make sense to probably any of you. We did. We started to tithe. First 10% tithe. The rest of it, let's deal with the bills. Start to tithe. We started to face off those giants. You know, like, I don't want none of my kids to say anything. The phone would ring at the house. Don't pick up that phone. Come on. Don't pick up that phone. It's just a bill collector. Don't pick up that phone. We started to pick up the phone.
Amen.
And we started to say, God first. Pay our tithe. Started to pay our bills with the rest of it. We were so happy. I don't think they had it. We were so, people on the outside could have looked at us and been like, man, they eating rummy and noodles. Hot dogs. See, the kids remember, see what I'm saying, Pat? They remember that, see? But we was eating.
Mm-hmm.
And we was paying our bills. Bill collector called and said, look. So one day, this bill collector called. I'm like, oh, I talked to him, I don't have it. I talked to her, I said, ma'am, she's telling me about the late fees. She's telling me, all these fees associated with what we owe. I said, ma'am, look, at this time, looking at the 90% that I have in the other bills, I can't pay that amount. I can pay you this amount, though, if you would just work with me. And at that moment, I said, the lady said, she said, Mr. Ogletree, tell you what I'm going to do. So I'm going to waive those late fees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to waive these other fees.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, you pay next month. I know. Pay next month, start next month, and start making these payments. And I said, oh, I was happy. I'll give you the idea of a happy man. I was happy, right? But that wasn't the end of the conversation. She said, can I tell you something? I said, yeah. She said, I want you to know something. She said, God is getting ready to open doors for you.
Mm. Thank you, Jesus.
And I remember I had the phone in my hand. And I dropped it. I was like, Ellie! You won't believe what this bill is like. God is getting ready to open some doors for you. This is the bill collector.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, I don't care what condition my heart was in. I don't care what level of trust I had before that day. But when a bill collector calls me that don't know me from Adam and tells me that because of what I'm doing, and the way that I'm doing, seeking God first, that God is getting ready to open some doors for me. If that's not a hallelujah moment, there's no such thing. That's a hallelujah moment. When that lady said that, that only furthered my cause to put him first and not worry about anything else. You could have saw me. I think I could have outran my son-in-law that day. I was so light, so much was taken off of me. God is going to open some doors. He's going to turn it around.
Yes.
He will turn it around. And that was some years ago. God, that's go figure, 8 years ago.
That's right.
Huh?
Wow.
8 years ago.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
8 years ago.
Yeah.
8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we lost, the house, the car, we have a new house, we have a new car.
Amen.
And most importantly, we pay our tithes first.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Huh?
Thank
See?
You, thank you.
And I'm not saying that was an easy transition. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that God started opening, just like everyone said, started opening door after door after door after door
thank
for those
you.
Who are faithful
Faithless.
To Him.
Yes.
And he is testing you each and every week, each and every month. I know you're going through some tough times. I know that you're probably struggling. He's testing you to see if you will give him back a portion before he tries to pull you out anything else.
Thank you, Jesus.
You don't have to. This is my story. I stand on this because I'm living this with my wife each and every day. This is my story. And I'm not ashamed about that past. Because it pushed me to seek God first. If it wasn't for that trial and tribulation, I would have never got the next open door. So, I know what this widow was feeling. All I got. It's all my livelihood. Don't miss that. She gave all her livelihood, not just her money. She loved the Lord with her whole heart. She wasn't giving for show. It was a personal, trusting relationship. She was willing to remind God of his word. You have to know his word to remind him of his word.
Amen.
She knew all that she had was because of him.
Yes.
So I close with this today. And as we move forward in this house, I ask you, what is your heart condition? What is your heart condition? Are you truly trusting God?
Mm-hmm.
Don't just believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Believe God.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen.